It really is nice to be here. And I pray that the Spirit of the Lord might be with us as I try to visit with you a little bit about some things that may matter to us all. I think President Hathan's remarks about the Spirit of Ricks made me remember that for the years that I was here, I was trying to understand it. I know there is a Spirit of Ricks. It's special. And I'd like to talk a little bit about it by telling a story or two. When you leave Ricks College, you will find, if you're anything like me, that it's very hard for you to ever cut your connection. Not very long ago, I was in Taipei, Taiwan. I was in church, and they could see that my Chinese was limited, and so they suggested that I sit on a certain row near the front and use a microphone. And they said that there are some missionaries here who will translate for you. And it was my great moment, my first sacrament meeting, obviously, in Taiwan. And I sat down, and they began speaking very rapidly. At least Chinese sounds very rapid to me. And I put my earpiece on, and the first words, understand I'm waiting for the great translation. There are obviously some very important things happening in the branch in Taipei. And the first words were, "Hi, President Iring. We were at Ricks College together. Do you remember me?" And I don't really know how good his Chinese was, because I don't know if what was going on was what he was telling me, but it was a marvelous experience. And he would interlard it as we went along with, you remember that time at Ricks College? And I think he was paying attention to the sacrament meeting, but he had not forgotten and wanted to visit with me. And the only chance I got, it's interesting, I just shook his hand for a minute afterwards. I didn't get a chance to get very well acquainted, but there he was, and Ricks College was on his mind. Just last weekend, I was working late at the office in the church office building. They have a security desk you have to go by, and the girl smiled. I've learned, by the way, there's a certain smile you get that you better be ready. They probably went to Ricks College. It's just a little warmer than average. And she smiled, and I said, "Did we know each other?" And she said, "Yes." And she was here at Ricks College as well. I also had the experience, and I think this gives me a little insight again into what I think is the spirit of Ricks College. At the homecoming at Brigham Young University, where they invited me as the new commissioner of education, I got to ride in a Mercedes. You'd know which kind. It was all right. But anyway, I rode in a Mercedes. And before and after, met the marshal of the parade, Curtis Brinkman, who some of you will know, but not as I know him. I met Curtis Brinkman first. He wasn't yet in a wheelchair. I don't know if then, my memory is the first time I saw him, he was on artificial limbs. And it was before the Spory. We changed the Spory, and I think there may be a ramp there, but there was not a ramp at that time. Excuse me, but I like the guy. He's a great guy. It was soon after he'd lost his legs, and he was working his way. And down into the Spory, and I talked to him. What struck you was not his physical disability, even then, but his spirit. And he was discouraged. And that was very, very obvious. If you know anything about him, you know that he's since then become a world-class competitor in wheelchairs. Has won first-class prizes in world meets. And is now working in the Provo area, graduate of Brigham Young University. He was the marshal of the parade. But if you know Curtis and a little bit about his life, I think you know something about the spirit of Ricks College. He said it to me again as we were visiting before and after the parade. He knew I knew him during that time when he was trying to put his life back together, when as a handsome young man he lost his legs in an accident. And he said it was at Ricks College that I began to believe that some things were still possible. Now, I travel over the world, and I see a lot of places, and I'm not just being sentimental about Ricks College. I'll give you my honest opinion. I don't know a place where you're more likely, if you take advantage of it, to have the people around you in the setting lift you up as to what might be possible. If you'd have told that young boy working down that stairway into the Spory that he'd someday have done as many things as Curtis Brinkman has now done, he would not have laughed at you. I think he would have walked away in anger. He would have thought, "You don't understand. You don't know how tough this thing is for me, but
Now, those things are happening. Now, I don't give Ricks College all the credit for that, but it began here. And Ricks College won't deserve all the credit in your life, but at least for some good things, it will begin here. Now, again, you say, well, that's not good enough. That's just what it is in its effect. Brother Eyring, why is Ricks College special? And I will now be very honest with you and say, I don't think I understand yet. I haven't been here long enough. I was just here 6 years, and you've got to give me more time. I don't think I understand yet. It's probably a combination of things. It's partly the size of the school. It's partly that many of the students here are rather young and beginning and very hopeful. It's something of the tradition of the place. It's something of this great faculty. I don't know. But this is a place where, if you'll let it happen, you can be influenced to believe things are possible. Now, let me tell you why I think that really, really matters. It really, really matters because of mathematics. Are you ready? Oh, I see you now. You're going to be surprised. We're going to talk about mathematics. I want to look out and see the anticipation in your eyes. Yes, we're going to talk about mathematics. But by talking about it, I think I can tell you something about why this is a special place. Are you ready? You do not need paper. You will do these in your head. All right? Story problems. Cheers for story problems. Lots of excitement for story problems. Let's limber up, first of all. Let's limber up with a story problem. Now suppose we work on this one together. How many gallons of cottonseed oil would you need to add to 45 gallons of olive oil, which is 90% olive oil, a solution which is 90% olive oil, to get a combination that is 80% olive oil? Archie said, your heart is racing. I can look into your eyes and tell some are going after it. By the way, there are people in the room. You will not believe this. There are people in the room who already have figured it out or are starting. That is not the majority. Most of you are waiting for me to get on to the next point. Because you're saying, this is a drag. Right? You really are. Most of you. A few are working it and probably know the answer. Give you another one. Now, this is for the smarties. There are some smarties in the room who already have that one. Now we'll go to another one. Write an expression, a formula, or just describe how you would calculate that the minute between 4 and 5, when the minute hand and the hour hand are pointing to exactly the same place. Now you've got that. See if your formula can also get you the answer between the time of 3 and 4. Now how about 2 and 3? Now, does your formula tell you that they don't ever point to the same place between 12 and 1 and 11 and 12? You got it? All right. I just had to do that for the hot rods who were with me on the first one, because I want to get everybody a little uneasy. Now, you're laughing a little now, and you don't take it seriously, but suppose this were an examination and it really mattered. And suppose I put something on your palms to detect perspiration. Would I get some? Now, what it is, let me tell you something. I've spent a lot of my life coaching people on those kind of problems. And I will now give you a little insight into mathematics. From that, tell you something about why Ricks is special. And from that, teach you something that could change your life if you'll try it. Now, it's just this simple notion. I can't really do it in an audience this large, but if I sat down with one of you and I was your tutor, and we had that problem in front of us, and you really had to turn it in for an exam or do something, I'll tell you an interesting thing. Most of you would act one of two ways right away. Some folks would say, I can't do it. That's beyond me. If I worked 20 hours, I'm sure I couldn't do it. There's another kind of person. They're really not a different kind of person. It's a different feeling that says, I think I can. And they will start, and they won't work 20 hours. They'll work maybe 20 minutes or 15, and the problem will be solved. One thinks there is a solution, and if I just stay with it, I'll find it. The other one says, there may be a solution, I'm not even sure there is, but I know I could look forever, and the odds would be so poor it isn't worth starting. Now, I've used mathematics as an example, but I believe it's true in writing, in reading, in most sorts of intellectual things that you're trying to do in a university. And that is that some folks believe they can, and some believe they can't. And that makes all the difference. That makes all the difference. Now, the one who believes he can still may not, but the one who believes he or she can't surely won't. Okay, now I've given you, that's my course in how to be a better student. But you better take it very, very seriously because I believe it's true. This place, I don't know what the combination of things are that make it so, but for Curtis Brinkman, he began to believe here, I can do it. First of all, it's doable. And second, I can do it. And he had a kind of a problem that he could have easily said, I don't think anybody can do it. And even if they could, I don't think I can. But something about this place made him feel he could do it. And in that sense, Rick's College made all the difference. So I'm willing to say to you, that faculty sitting over there and your fellow students are the best group of people I've ever seen to help you begin to believe you can do it. And that will make all the difference. Now, so far, all I've really talked to you about a little bit about academic things, and I want you to know that they matter. They matter very, very much. But there's something that matters maybe even just a little bit more, and I have to tell you a story or two. Can I tell you what your life is going to be like? Now, I know you're too busy to ever watch soap operas. So if I tell you that I'm going to talk to you about As the World Turns, or is it General Hospital or just Hospital? I'm not sure. You, of course, would not know what I was talking about. But maybe your friends have told you there are these things, okay? And they're on. And if you've noticed, things don't go too well for the folks in them. Have you noticed? And in fact, it's almost laughable if you're not watching it regularly because you can't think that many disasters would occur so quickly. It's sort of flash, disaster, flash, disaster, flash, disaster, and it goes on like that. Now, that's the funny news. Now, the bad news is that, let me tell you, life, while it doesn't quite happen all in 30 minutes or however long those things go, I'll tell you something about your lives. You're all going to have quite a drama in your life. You are all participants in As the World Turns. In fact, just the other day I picked up, my wife collects books on writing, and so I get to read a lot. If I pick anything up, that's what it is. And this one was on how to write a screenplay. It was kind of fun, because it was so old-fashioned, nothing fancy. It just said, let me tell you what the element of writing a good screenplay is. If you want drama, you get a character that your reader cares about, then get him into trouble, and then resolve it. And that'll be a good screenplay. And then took a whole bunch of screenplays and showed how that really all is variations on that is all that was happening in some very exciting screenplays. Now then, here's my word to you. Your life is going to be like that. You're going to get to like the main character, that's you, quite a bit, and become quite involved with that character, and that character is going to get into trouble. And then it's going to get resolved one way or another. Remember, I said resolved, not solved, resolved. Some folks never do solve the trouble, they just get into it. But it will occur. Everybody in the room. Now you say, Brother Eyring, that's a very gloomy view. My life is going to be roses all the way. Sort of just peak to peak to peak to peak. As I rise, you laugh, but you do feel that way from time to time. Sometimes you think it's peak to peak to peak this way. But it depends, doesn't it, on the day of the week and that sort of thing. But anyway, most of you don't really think there'll be problems quite as much as I have to tell you there will be. Now, the reason I can tell you that is this. It's not Brother Eyring has to be any great prophet. All you have to understand is a little bit about what Heavenly Father has built here. My mother, bless her heart, before she passed away, taught me some good lessons. And she used to say to me, Hal, life is a test. And then she'd smile. And I thought she was a little gloomy, and now I'm getting older and I've read my scriptures more carefully. That's really what it is. Heavenly Father has said, I love you, my child. Go into the world. Get a body. Live in mortality. For you, some special things. You will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many of you will be reared in it. Many of you will have the chance to be touched by great teachers, as all of you here are, to be taught the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it will not be just all smooth. Every one of you will be tested. Now, I can't say what the test will be. I can't say what the test will be. But I'll tell you, it'll have at least one element. It will be a moral choice. There'll come some times in your life, maybe some big ones, maybe lots of little small ones, but you'll come into some situations where you'll have to make a hard choice. May I tell you two true stories to illustrate those choices? I was a bishop once and had the experience of having a young woman tell me this story. She was living in a place where there are very few Latter-day Saints and very few Latter-day Saint young men, and those that weren't interested in her. She'd gone out very, very little, and she became very discouraged. She got acquainted with a fellow who was not a member of the church, and he liked her. But she told me later, she said, I knew he didn't really like me. I knew that he thought he could take advantage of me. She said, I really knew that the whole time. But I was lonely, and he was an attractive guy, and although he wanted to take advantage of me, he kind of liked me, and I was so unused to that. And I kept turning him down. I'd see him, and I'd visit with him, but I'd never go out with him. My mother had taught me, don't go out with anybody who isn't a member of the church, and I didn't want to do it, but I saw him a lot. We did a lot of things together. And he kept pressing me. And she said, she told me with tears rolling down her cheeks, one afternoon, he called and said, I'd like to see you tonight. Let's go somewhere. And he named the place that she knew wouldn't take the whole evening. And then said, and then afterwards, why don't we go over to my place? And she said, I knew that I was making a choice that mattered. And I had to decide, shall I do what my mommy said and stay home, or shall I take this chance? I'm lonely, and this guy may not be really going to take advantage of me, and why not? And agonized over that, and told him that she'd call him back. And spent a couple of hours thinking about it before she called him. Let me tell you about another friend of mine, a young man. Born in the church, but parents not interested in it. Very successful business people, and a grandmother who was not a member. One day, a cute Latter-day Saint girl said, come with me to a missionary farewell. And he was then a hot skier, one of the best golfers you ever saw, and one suave guy. And he thought, she's kind of nice looking, and she's nice, and I can spend an hour anywhere, it won't hurt me, I'll go. And he went, and at that farewell, he felt the spirit of Elias. He'd never felt a spiritual thing before in his life. But he felt something come on him that said, what this guy is going to do is right and good. I'd like to do that. Got his life in order and went and told his mom and dad, guess what? I'm going on a mission. Would you like to support me? And surprise, surprise, they said, yes, that'd be fine. And you know how these stories go because you've been through some things like this in your life. Looks like it's just going beautifully, doesn't it? Straight up. Just peak to peak. Except after he had the call, and after he's all set to go, his grandfather is diagnosed to have cancer. His grandmother comes to him and says, Jim, if you love your grandfather, you'll want to be here when he dies. You can't do this terrible, cruel, selfish thing and go into the mission field for that church when you know where your obligations really are. And my friend had to sit down one afternoon in a couple hours and choose. Now, I talked to you a little bit about problem solving. Remember? I said, the key to problem solving, if it's mathematics or whatever it is, I really believe, is to believe, first, it can be done, and secondly, that you can do it. I really believe that. At least if you don't believe those, you're doomed. I'm sure of that. Now, what I'd like to tell you, as I believe that's also true in spiritual things, it's been kind of fun to watch your faces as I've been talking. Remember the girl I've got left in the room making that decision? She's got to make a phone call. Now, my friend who's waiting, I got them both waiting at the same time, you notice. I'm like a dentist. I have two people waiting simultaneously. But I want you to think about that. There they are. And that's more like a story problem than you think. Have you ever been in that kind of a box? Everybody in the room has been in that kind of a box. Where you've had something tugging and pulling at you, and you remember how your insides churn? I shouldn't. Ooh, it'd be fun. Ooh, no, I shouldn't. Mom would want this. Remember? Turmoil. Okay? But you've all been there. Now, the most valuable thing I believe you could have is to believe what I'm now going to read you. And I know this puts you to sleep. I'm running terrible risks. Most of you had a lunch and you're bored already. But I got to read it to you. In case you fall asleep, write down now where I'm reading it. Then later you can do this thing for yourself, all right? I'm reading you Moroni 7, chapter 7, verse 14 and later, okay? Now remember, folks, the most important thing that girl could believe is that, yes, you can know what you ought to do, and I can get that answer. The most important thing for that boy that afternoon is say, yeah, there is a right thing to do, and I know how to get that answer. I can do it. Now listen to what this says. Wherefore take heed, my beloved brethren, that ye do not judge that which is evil to be of God, or that which is good and of God to be of the devil. For behold, the Spirit of Christ is given to every man, that he may know good from evil. Wherefore I show unto you the way to judge. For everything which inviteth to do good and to persuade to believe in Christ is sent forth by the power and gift of Christ. Therefore ye may know with a perfect knowledge that it is of God. But whatsoever thing persuadeth men to do evil and believe not in Christ and deny him and serve not God, then ye may know with a perfect knowledge that it is of the devil. For after this manner doth the devil work, for he persuadeth no man to do good, neither do his angels, neither do they who subject themselves unto him. Did you notice something? That scripture used an interesting language. It said you may know with a perfect knowledge. Because I bear my testimony to you, it's important for you to have that confidence that you don't have to guess. You don't have to say, I think I'll do it. Let's see how it goes. Would everyone in the room who's done a stupid thing by saying, let's see how it goes, raise their hand? Don't raise your hands. I could not stand to see that many hands. But there's just, the room is full of people saying, well, I don't know, it's so confusing, but let's give it a go. And then we'll see how it works out. Okay? You don't have to do that. Now, you may choose to do that, and that's your business. But after today, I warn you, I will see you someday in the great beyond. And they will call me in as a witness. And they will say, were you there when he told you that if you wanted to, you can ignore it if you want to, but if you want to, you may know the problem is solvable and you can solve it. So boy, if you try to use the defense, I'm warning you now, if you get in that court in the sky, and you try to use the defense of ignorance and say, well, if it was so complicated, I mean, I hadn't had a date in weeks and he was a cute guy and I didn't know and how could I know? Well, of course he wanted to take me to Big Al's and I knew it was a bar, but good people go there. Or the guy could say, well, it was my grandmother. I mean, you can't be mean to your grandmother. My grandfather was going to die. What do you mean? You can know. It says here perfectly. whether a thing is good or evil. Now, let me read it again. For behold, the Spirit of Christ is given to every man, that he may know good from evil. Wherefore I show unto you the way to judge. For everything which inviteth to do good and to persuade to believe in Christ is sent forth by the power and gift of Christ. Wherefore you may know with a perfect knowledge it is of God. Now that young lady didn't have to make a very tough choice, it turns out, at all, did she? There is no way, if a person believed Moroni 7 and 14 and the verses after it, that she'd have gone with that guy that night to Big Al's or with him to his place afterwards. Now, I bear you my testimony, there is a law of repentance. That's why she was seeing me that day, and lots of tears and lots of hard work and the things you have to do to be forgiven, and she was forgiven. But the pain never had to come. The tears never had to come if she'd have just believed that you can really know and that she could get an answer. And she could have. It didn't take a great revelation from heaven. It took Moroni 7:14. Now the happier story is my friend, Jim, who said, Grandma, I love my grandfather so much that I want to be in the mission field when he's sick. The greatest gift I could ever give him is to let him know that I know the gospel of Jesus Christ is true. And he'll know that best if he sees me go out to serve. And he went out to serve. And it made all the difference. My friend Jim believed you could know, understood Moroni, made the choice. And I can't tell you that Grandpa survived his mission. He didn't. He died. I can't tell you that Grandma's heart was softened and she joined the church, because as far as I know, she never did. But he knew, and he went with confidence. And he said, Hal, I never felt a regret. I knew I was where I was supposed to be. Because I knew that that might, if anything, would persuade Grandpa before he went to believe in Christ and join the true church, it would be to have seen his grandson believe enough to go. And so I went. Now, I bear you my testimony that you can know. You really can know. And there are tests. And here they are. And you can follow them. Now, I need to be practical for just a moment before I end, because you say, now, Brother Eyring, will it work when I'm choosing between shall I go play foosball or basketball? And my answer is, probably not. It won't help a very great deal at all. I'm not even sure it will help as you choose between foosball and doing your homework. Although I'm a little sure on that one. But there'll be times when, I don't know, maybe you need a little foosball. But I'll tell you this, that even mundane choices like that get a lot easier when you say to yourself, there is a God and I love Him. And Jesus is the Christ and I love Him. I want to get as close to Him as I can. And I want to take as many people with me as I can. Now let's see. How shall I spend my time? And there's times you'll play ball. I like to play ball. I wish I'd have brought my tennis racket. And I could sneak in your courts around here somewhere and play a little. Why, I know general authorities that play tennis. In fact, they beat me. Which suggests they may be playing more than I am. And my guess is that's not a moral mistake every time they do it. But I believe that even that kind of a choice is probably better made if you've got the attitude that says, hey, I know a way to know when I'm going in the right direction. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to get near Him. And I want to take as many people with me as I can. Now let's see, how does this fit into that? Now I'd like to just end by bearing you my testimony this way. Last night, I'll tell you a true story about Rick's College. Do any of you ever stay up too late? I can see a few that have, because you're unconscious at the moment. I mean, I'm assuming it's that, not me. I'm assuming it's your problem. Well, I have to confess right here before you that your president was kept up last night by me. And I kind of had to smile after I President and Sister Hafen go to sleep darn near after midnight. I noticed that they had to do some other things, so I kept them up. I felt very guilty, but not really. And I have to confess that right here before them. Just the way you do when you keep your roommates up, you don't really care. Because, you know, you know they're going to be in terrible shape, but you needed it. You did. You wanted to talk. And I needed to talk last night. And sweet President Hafen and his wife sat there and listened and seemed interested. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why I needed to do that. I'm not cruel and callous, and I knew they needed sleep, and they surely probably didn't need to hear me talking. But I knew something. I knew that if I could just get President Hafen to listen to this problem that I was working on, that I know him, and he's wise and good. In fact, in the world, I don't know anybody I'd go to with a hard, important problem and expect to get more help than I would from President Hafen in the world. And I wasn't doing it just to entertain myself or to be thoughtless. I just thought, I can just try it out on him, get him thinking about it. I know I can do it. Now, one of the keys of having confidence you can do it is being around people like that. And I want you to know how lucky you are to be near President Hafen. And I want you to know how lucky you are to be near this faculty and to be near each other. So many good people who are wise and bright and want to do what's right and care and can think hard. You're in a very, very special place. And one of the reasons you get confidence in Rick's College is you're around folks like that. Now, I'm not guaranteeing you that I will give a blessing to you every time you keep your room made up. Don't misunderstand me. In fact, a general rule would be go to bed earlier. And for most of you, on the other hand, boy, there'll be some times when while you're at Rick's College, you'll feel the spirit of Rick's coming from those friends and from those roommates. I've had some dinners served to me in some apartments around this place by girls and even some guys, Kathy. I remember one time the food was not as good with the fellows, but I can remember going to some places and saying, you know, boy, they're lucky to be with each other. Because here are people who know the Savior and love Him. And boy, if they try out their problems and their questions on each other, their confidence will grow. Their confidence will grow. And I want you to know that I'm grateful for President Hafen. I'm grateful for this place. I'm grateful for the spirit of Rick's, where people get the confidence that it can be done and they can really do it. This place is special that way. Take advantage of it. I pray that when you're away from here, you'll still remember Moroni 7 and 14 and have confidence that in the hardest of choices, the ones that will decide whether your story comes out to be a happy one, sort of a comedy, or a tragedy, will depend on whether those moments when you're in that trouble where you're deciding which way to go, you have confidence. There is a way to judge. God will tell you which things lead towards Christ and which do not. And will help you make the big decisions, and you can have confidence and not be afraid. There's some people in the room who are afraid right now. You're scared. You face some really tough things. In an audience this big, I promise you, there are some people here today that are really facing some tough things. I just bear you my testimony. You may have perfect faith. Heavenly Father didn't send you here to fail. He didn't send you here to trick you. There's no trick questions. They're straightforward, if you'll remember, what the rules are. There is a Christ. The most valuable thing I could do is bury my testimony. There is a Christ. Jesus the Christ. He died for our sins. He was resurrected. He is the Lord. Spencer W. Kimball is His prophet. I bury that testimony, and because it's true, you can believe. And you can believe there is a way to know, and the hardest of problems are soluble. Now, you may still be afraid of story problems. I probably have not solved that for you yet. Okay? Although even on that, I wish you'd have a little more faith and confidence. Just keep working away at them. You'd be surprised how good you can get at them. You really can. But if I haven't done that, may I hope I've done the other. Is to tell you the choices that really make up the test of life, the moral choices, they are solvable. And you can get the answer. You need to love the Lord Jesus Christ to do it. I pray that you will love Him. Promise you that if you do, and follow the counsel of Moroni 7:14, you'll get the right answers. A passing grade. and will go home again to a father who loves you. I bear that testimony and pray that for you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.